I figured that y'all were probably holding a Maymar, three lines from the bottom
That's
of Fuck 'em Days. Okay. Figured. Okay. Ah. So, a Maymar Shriv, like, we were talking before about we've been talking about the Dinim of Avelos, before we were talking yesterday's daf, we were talking about the some of the Dinim of Kriya. So now continuing on that topic. A Maymar Shriv, like, Barbre. Amema's grandson, his son's son, passed away. Kara Ilave, and he tore Korea for him because, as we learned yesterday, there is the opinion that you do the things of Avelos, you prab Avelos for second level relatives as well, such as grandchildren. Also, Bray, then his son came, and his son is the one who is actually who actually has the stronger Avelos, even Menatara, because this is his son who passed away. Karabape, so Amemar again ripped
son
his
of Amemar?
The son of Amemar, yeah. So he again ripped his clothes in front of him in order to prab Avelos in front of him. So actually Toysfus asks why, if he already tore Kriya once, what does he need to tear Kriya again for? And the Toysfus answer is that actually no, it's not Karabape does not mean Amemar tore in front of his son. On the contrary, it means that his son, when he came and saw that his father was there, he tore Kriya because he had to. That was the din. But actually, what Tosfos says is because, as the Gemara is going to continue, Amema by mistake did it sitting, so the son stood in front of him and tore Kriya in order that Amema should realize that, wait a minute, I can do it standing. Itko
demyusha.
In other words, the way that we would learn the Gemara, the simple way we would learn the Gemara is, let's learn the next few words. Itko demyusha kara, that he realized that he had torn Kriya sitting. Come Kara Mu'umad, and he got up and tore a third time standing. So the way that Rashi learns, and the way it would seem the obvious way of the simple way of learning the Gemara would be that Amema ripped his clothes a total of three times. Once just because he as a regular matter of Avelos, because he held that you have to do Avelos for a grandson. Two in front of his son, because his son came there, so he tore Kriya again in his presence. Like in his honor or whatever, and then he realized that he did it sitting, so he did it again standing. According to Tosafos, it's actually Amemar himself only ripped his clothes twice. He did it once. His son, not wanting to explicitly tell him, you know, you did it sitting, which wouldn't be the proper way to do, he tore his clothes standing in order that Amemar himself should realize, wait a minute, I did it sitting, I better do it again. So, Amalei Rabashi Amemar, so Rabashi asks Amemar, Kriya Dermomad Menalon, where do you get this, that you have to do Kriya standing? And the answer is, just here, because it says, this is in the story of Eov over there, at the beginning of Sefer Eov, it tells about how Eov's possessions and then his family were all wiped out in various tragedies. By Yochum Eov, by Yikras Milo, it says, Eov stood up and tore his coat. So we see you have to stand. That's why. Elameata, well, by that logic, what about, for example, we find by Chalitza, by Yibum and Chalitza, by a Yovam, when they go to Beis Din, the Yavam doesn't want to do Yibum, and the pasuk says Amad va'Amar lechafatzi lekachta. He stands and he says, I don't want to take her. I don't want to marry her. And that's when he do chalitza. So what? Hachinami? You're going to say also because it says va'Amad means this declaration dafka has to be made standing. V'hatanya, but we learn in a brisa. We'll have it in Yavamas. No, you don't need to. Ben Yosha ben Omid ben Muta. The Yavam can be saying this standing. It can be sitting, standing, even leaning. Tosfos points out that really you are supposed to do it standing, but that's midrabanan.
Right.
Midrabanan, as a matter of covenant for Beis Din, but you're supposed to do it standing. But minatari, you could do it however. So we see that va'amad doesn't necessarily mean standing. What is it? Sometimes you have the expression. You have the mefarshim point out. Amad v'kidesh, or amad v'amar, or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean to stand.
Present.
It means he was present. Amalei, so Amemar tells him the difference is Hasam like said Vayamod by Yomer. Over there it doesn't say and he stood. Over there it doesn't say and he stood or and he shall stand Vayamod Vayomer and he shall stand and he shall say, which would imply that he actually has to be standing. It just says Va'omad Va'omer, which is kind of like it's like telling a story. The fact of the matter is it is telling us a halacha. It's telling us that he has to say these words, but the Va'omad as opposed to Vayamod. Or Riyamod, rather, is more of a Sifur Dvarim Ba'alma. It's more just a the Ba'alma there is a figure of speech, rather than telling us explicitly that he has to stand.
He's supposed to say, yeah, I mean,
would mean he must stand, yeah.
He could have been walking, so he has to stand, as opposed to the outcome, he has to actually get up.
Okay. Preposterous. I mean, we're not going to have the Yavam. He's not walking. You know, the fact is they come in front of the Beis Din. He's not going to be walking by Stam, you know. But here it actually says, and he stood up, and he tore Kriya. So therefore, that's more mashma that it's actually telling us what has to be done. It's not, I mean, it is telling us a story of what Eev actually did, but we do also learn from it what has to be done. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Minayin Kriya Shimomud. Here's another thing. Where do we know, a similar thing. Where do we know that Kriya has to be done standing? Shenemar, because it says, Vayakam Eev Vayikra. So what? Dilma Milsi Yaserto Hudavad. Maybe all it is how do we know that this that Eev did is normal to Halacha? I mean, there's a discussion in Bava Basra whether Eev was even a Yid or not, but even whether he was or not is a whole other matter, but either way, who says that whatever he did is what's required by Halacha? Maybe he did something extra. Maybe he just did like a personal thing for himself. To Eloi Te Mahachi, because otherwise, what are you going to say? The Pasuk continues by Yoga Zesroshay, that he tore hair out of his head. Hachanami, you're going to say that also an oval has to do? Obviously not. As a matter of fact, an oval is not allowed to do that. We had a couple of parashas ago. Lo yisimu karcha ben enechem lemeis. You're not allowed to rip out your hair for a relative who died. How Eev did it? So if he was not a yid, then it's not a question. If he was a yid, then the mepharshim say that maybe he did it out of tsar for his possessions that were lost, not for his family, not for his children, and that you're allowed to do. You're allowed a person who lost a fortune, for example, is allowed to tear out his hair out of grief for that. It's you're only not allowed to do it for a mess.
Now, what I'm thinking is like what Moshe is supposed to name to God and Ruben, that you shouldn't be feeling so horrible about so concerned about your material things, you should be feeling so horrible about you.
True. Okay.
They're trying to just find an out for Eev,
and that abusing you. But also there's something else too. Why is it Taka that why is it Taka you're not allowed to rip out your hair for a dead relative? I think that Ramban says that because the pasuk continues. The pasuk says before that Bonim Atam Hashem Alekechem. I think that Ramban says about because since you're children of Hashem, no Jew who dies is ever completely lost, and the Shema still exists. If you rip out your hair and cut yourself and do whatever like the Goyim did in those days, it's like demonstrating I don't believe that the neshama is still alive. I don't believe the person's ever going to come back alive again, and that would be clearer. Mashenkin with money, yeah. Who says you're ever going to get your money back? I mean, the end he did at the end of the story, but he didn't know at the time. So yeah, he has the right to rip out his hair for having lost his money. He doesn't have the right to rip it out for having lost his children because the neshama still continue to exist. Anyways, either way, though, the point is, you see, he ripped out his hair. There's no chiyuv on an oval to do that. So you can't prove anything from that. Ela mehacha. So no, rather, we'll learn it from a different pasuk. Vayakam ha-melech vayikres gadav. This is talking about David ha-melech. You have the whole story with Amnon over there, with Amnon and Tamar over there. Afterwards, Avshalom hates Amnon for what he did to Tamar's his full sister, biologically anyway, even if not la-halacha. But, So he waited. He eventually took revenge. He assassinated Amnon. And when David gets at first, David gets a garbled version of the news. He gets his first news that Absalom has killed all the other princes. So Vayakam HaMelech Vayikras Gadav. The king stood up and ripped his clothes. So there also we see he stood up. Again, the Gemara asks why. So what? V'dilma milsi yaser to Ovid. So what? You could say the same thing. He did something extra. He wasn't required la halacha to stand up, but as a personal thing, he decided to stand up. And again, the Eloi Te Mahachi, because otherwise, if you're not going to say that, then you have to consider what the pasuk continues. Vayishkav arza, that he lay down on the ground. Hachinami, you're going to say that also is what an awful is required to do. V'hatanya, but we actually learn in a braisa that no, it does that an awful does not have to lie on the ground. Yosha v'agavim mita, oval sits, or actually in a different version, in the version of Rashi that in Kisve Yad that Yosef Keller published it a few years back, it actually said not Yoshav but Yoshan v'agavim mita. If the oval sleeps on a bed, v'agavim kise or on a chair, v'agavim udyoni gdola or on a large udyoni. What in Rashi says, machteshes gdola, a large mortar. different other.
Sushi love,
yeah, whatever it is, some kind of thing, but not a bed. There's a different gear zone. All right, anyway, al gabi kauta, or he sleeps on the ground. With none of those is a yotze. Well, there's a different girsa over here. Actually, the Rif has a different girsa that says that gdolam mikan omru, that even more than that they said, if the oval sleeps on the ground, that he's not yotze the mitzvah of kriyas amita. That we learned before in the Masechta that the oval has to turn over his bed, because we said that the Eibishter says, I gave you a neshama, I gave you a tzelem alakim, and because of your averus it got taken away, so you should turn over your bed. That's the thing. So you have to sleep on the overturned bed.
Right.
So even if you sleep on the ground, you're not yotze. So therefore, when it says by David by Yishkav Arza, means again that he wasn't doing it as a matter of the halachas of Avelus, because as far as the halachas of Avelus, you don't have to. Or a different way of looking at it is, according to the Rips and the Rambam here, so is you're not even yotze if you do that. So what is it? So he says that doesn't prove anything, because you could say that when it says that David lay on the ground, it doesn't mean literally on the ground. It means he lay down on his overturned bed. It's ke'enah. So it's like sleeping on the ground, because it's sleeping in an uncomfortable way. So therefore, yes, you could say that, yes, we see there that David did actually act according to the dinim of Avelus, and therefore, in going back to when it says that he stood up and tore his clothes, also we can assume that that means that that's actual halacha. You don't have to say that. You don't have to say that he was doing something extra. Tana Rabbanan, Elu Dvarim Sha'Aval Asa Behen. The following are the things that an Aval is also to do. Asa B'Malacha. He's not allowed to do Malacha. We learned in the earlier in the Perek the Gemara brought Sukkim for all these things. Over a chitza, over a sicha, to wash and anoint himself as Hashem Shemitah. Over an ilah for sandal and to wear shoes, leather shoes. But also likrus b'torah neviim muksovim. He's not allowed to learn Torah neviim muksovim. Or l'shanes for Mishnah. He's not allowed to learn Mishnah b'medrash of halachas. So in medrash and midrashim or in halachas. Or v'ashas or v'atalmud in Gemara or v'agados. Tosfos points out, by the way, there are actually more things than this that an oval is not allowed to do as well. What? Oh well, no. I meant of this list, we're saying also b'malach over chitz over sicha. There are other things also. For example, we're going to talk about later that an oval is not supposed to wear tefillin the first day or the first 2 days. We'll talk about it soon. An oval is not allowed to do shilas shalom. What? No, it's a separate. That's a separate thing.
Mishnah means also Gemara.
Yeah, well, Mishnah and Gemara we listed separately. In all Gemara it says Shas, but that was changed by the censors. For some reason, the censors did not like the word Talmud, and whatever wherever they could, they changed it. I don't know. I think it was one of those things where they had on the list of prohibited books, they had the Talmud or something like that. So you know, okay, so you rename it Shas, you know, so they didn't realize go your cap. Anyway. The Tosfos points out there are other things also. For example, an oval doesn't put on tefillin. An oval is not allowed to greet other people. We're going to learn on Amud Beis. But over here, our Braita is only listing things that apply throughout the whole Shiva. So, for example, the learning applies throughout the whole Shiva.
Can an oval build a new home?
Well, he himself can't be doing Malacha anyway.
Not himself.
You mean to have other people do it for him? During Shiva, probably not. It would be a matter of Simcha. During Shloshim, I don't know. I have to look in Shulchan Aruch, I guess. However, Ve'im Hoy Rabim Tzuchen Loi, but if many people need him, in other words, he teaches Torah to the public, Einu Nimna, then he doesn't have to hold himself back. He can teach. It once happened that Rabbi Yossi's son passed away in Tzipori, and sure enough, he went into the Beis Medrash and darshan the whole day, because he was Rabbi Mitzuchim. He's the Rav and Rosh Hashiva of the city.
You think it should be Russia like a halacha? If you would think that it's Dafka halacha, they would need him, not in Russia.
So Rashi just says Drasha, but the word Drasha in Gemara terminology doesn't necessarily mean Medrash. It can also mean darshaning and halachas. Tosfos discusses, you know, it's an interesting thing. At the end of Tainis, when we talked about the dinim of Tisha B'Av, we learned over there that you're all the, you know, the different parts of Torah that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, the Eicha, and the sad parts of Yirmiyah, and different things. Here, there's no such list. So does that mean that the Isser of Limud HaTorah is absolute? He can't even learn those things? Or does it mean the same exceptions that apply to Tisha B'Av apply over here? Tosfos has a machlokas about it. The halacha, the final conclusion is that the same rules apply to Tisha B'Av. And that's how we do it.
As Tisha B'Av.
So whatever you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn in Avelus. So Rabbi Yossi, and a similar thing, though, Rabba Baba Chana Itra Ebe Milsa, Rabba Baba Chana, something bad happened, which is the Gemara's way of saying, as we've had a few times already, that one of his relatives passed away. Sovereign Delo the Mepheth with Pirka, so he thought not to go to the Pirka to give the Drosha, because he thought, I'm an Oval, I can't. No, we learned him. No, if the Rabbim need you, then you don't have to hold back. The Rabbim need you, go ahead and darshan. However, Rabbi Baba Chana thought, in that case, let me do it in the usual way, with an Amora. As we've had a number of times already, that the normal way that a Rosh Hashiva would give a drasha in those days was he would say his points quietly to the Meturgamon, and the Meturgamon would repeat them and amplify them and explain them and whatever to the call. So Rabbi Baba Chana figured to do like that.
But in Hebrew and Aramaic?
The Meturgamon would definitely do it in Aramaic. How did the Rosh Hashiva do it? Could have been either way, I don't know. So Rav told him, no, Tanya, uvavad shalo yamid Turgamon. No, as long as you don't set up a Turgamon, because at least you have to make some kind of shinui. Well, there's another idea also that having a Turgamon shows more of a chshivus, and you don't want to show that level of chshivus when you're a novel. The elahechi of it, so what do you do? You can't give the drasha yourself, you can't give it through a Turgamon, what should you do? So you do kihad tanya, like we learn in the Braisa. Maiso mes b'noi shor Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi v'nichnas l'beis medrash. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi went into the beis medrash v'nichnas Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya v'yoshav b'tzidur. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya, who the pashtus was one of his talmidim, came and sat next to him. V'lochash hu l'Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya. So Rabbi Yehuda whispered whatever he wanted to say to Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya l'Turgamon, and then Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya whispered it to the Turgamon. V'aturgamon ishmiel adavim, and the Turgamon said it to the public. So that way, it's enough of a shinui that you're allowed to do it that way. So, I guess in a way, it's like, the truth is actually, there is a lot of discussion whether to what extent that halacha applies, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch in these dinim, the Ramah writes over there that the Ramah seems to say over there anyway that the Chacham can just darshan himself. Which would go with the first thing we said, that Rabbi Yossi went into the Beis Medrash and Dash and Kol Yom Kol didn't say anything about not having a Meturgamon or whatever. So one way of looking at it is, if you're going to have a Meturgamon, then yes, you have to go through a third party like Rabbi Yehuda did. But if you're not going to have a Meturgamon at all, if you just do like nowadays, like a Rav just Dash and Tzibur, then you can do that directly. Other Achronim say that no, the Ramah didn't mean to say that, but actually the Be'er HaGoyla holds that's what the Ramah said. But the other Meforshim say no, that's not what the Ramah meant to say. That I'm meant to say, like our Gemara, that you have to go through a third party and through a Meturgamon. And if you don't do a Meturgamon, then you may not be allowed to teach at all. There's also a discussion that the post can discuss the question, for example, of a teacher, a school teacher, is he allowed to teach during Shiva? Now he doesn't have to. And practically speaking, nowadays I think when a teacher is an oval, then they give him off a week. But if would he be allowed to teach during that time? I mean, a teacher obviously doesn't teach through a Meturgamon, but on the other hand, it's kind of Rabbim Tzrichim, like, in that sense. So nowadays, that's what they do. They replace him. They get a sub. But, yeah. So on our bottom, we learn in a Braisa. Avil, Gimel Yomim Roshonim also Laniach Tefillin, and Avil during the first 3 days of Avelus is not allowed to put on Tefillin, Mishlishi Ve'elach, but from the third day and on, Ushlishi Bechlal, and that includes the third day, Mutal Laniach Tefillin, and he's allowed to. So what does that mean? In what sense then are we saying that, in what sense are we saying 3 days he's off? So it means, in other words, that he has to only put him on after Netzachama. So that way at least some part of the third day we learn to perform Mitzvah Seim Kuloi, so that way at least you have 2 days in the beginning of a third day you're not putting on Tefillin.
Doesn't sound like a
Ushlishi b'chval, and that includes the third day itself. But now we're saying that the first 3 days means, in the same way that we say that Shiva is 7 days, and really it's 6 days in the morning of the seventh, the same way here, it means 2 days in the morning of the third. And if new people come, people who come to Menachem Avol who haven't been there before, you don't have to take off your tefillin from the third day and on. Even though Rashi says, you shouldn't be concerned that people are going to think that maybe he was putting on tefillin the first 2 days also when he wasn't supposed to. You're not worried about that. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. Avol Beis Yom Hashanah Asur Lanias Tefillin. The first 2 days he's not allowed to put on tefillin. Not the first 1 day, but not the first 3 days, but the first 2 days. And again, he says, Misheni B'chlam Asur Lanias Tefillin. From the second day, and that includes the second day itself, you're allowed to put on tefillin. However, Rimbo Ponim Chadoshes Cholos. But on the second day, if a new person comes to be Menachem Avol, then you have to take off the tefillin because you don't want them to think that you were wearing it the day before. So in one way, Rabbi Yeshua is maple, in that he's saying that already the second day you can be wearing tefillin. But in another way, he's being machmir, saying that you have to take it off for when panim chadash has come. Amar of Masna. Well, we'll get to see what the halacha is. Amar of Masna. My time at the Rabbi Lazar. What's Rabbi Lazar's reasoning that he says that you have to go 2 full days without tefillin? Just this, because the pasuk says vayitmu yimei b'chi eva Moshe. The days, plural, of the avelos of Moshe finished. Now, it was actually 30 days, but still, the fact that it says Yimei and Mir Tadab Mishnayim means that the minimum of the most severe Avelos, I mean, Avelos is 7 days, but the most severe part of it is 2 days. Amar Ravina, my time at Rabbi Yeshua, Dichtiv Acharisa Kiyayim Mar. There's a different passage that says the end of it will be like a bitter day. So we see 1 day. There's 1 day when all the bitterness of Avelos is kind of condensed into that 1 day. So therefore, Acharisa, and the end of it, Acharisa, the end of it, the context of it is the Pasuk's talking about, this is the Navi Amos is warning the Jewish people about the disasters that are going to come if they don't do tshuva, so you'll have all kinds of tragedies. Acharisa kuyayimah, and the end of it will be like a bitter day. So we see there's a concept of a day of bitterness, 1 day. What does he do with the pasuk about Moshe? Amalach, not a problem. Shiny Moshe, attacking Evlay. Moshe is different. That was an extremely strong avelos. The Gemara actually mentioned in Tmura, we talked about this before in Yuma, that the Gemara mentions over there that during the avelos for Moshe they forgot thousands of halachas. That's how deep felt the mourning was.
Why was it such a strong
avelos? Because Moshe passed away. There's no who's replacing Moshe. I mean, Yeshua, okay. P'nei Moshe, k'p'nei Chama, p'nei Yeshua, k'p'nei Levana.
So it was exceptional.
So it was exceptional in that case. You can't learn from that for others. Yeah. Rabbi Lezer Nami Hoksiv Bachrisa Kiyemah, whereas Rabbi Lezer drew with Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk. He says, Ik the Merir Echad Yemahu. It's true. The main bitterness is for 1 day, but we're not talking about bitterness, we're talking about Avelos. Avelos is 2 days. You want to say it was different by Moshe? I don't hold of that.
The
Merira
and Avelos.
But two different things, apparently. So, Omer Ola, Halacha when it comes to taking off tefillin, Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Once you put on tefillin, you don't have to take them off. Be, even if new people are coming. But the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, as far as when you're allowed to start putting them on, you're already allowed to start putting them on the second day. So now they have the question. Ula didn't clarify when he said halacha for Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza. Now Rabbi Eliezer, when he was talking about chalitza, was talking about on the third day. So does Rabbi Eliezer mean, so does Ula mean that on the second day you would have to take them off, but on the third you don't? Or does he mean the general concept that Rabbi Eliezer is saying by Chalitza applies according to the way that Rabbi Yeshua does, meaning on the second day. Tashma, Amar Ula, Cholitza Maniach, Afilu Mei Apamim. Ula says in a braisa, it's unusual that Ula is an Amora, it's unusual to see him quoted in a braisa, but okay. You take off and you put on the tefillin even 100 times on the second day. Now, we have to be talking about on the second day, because on the third day, everybody agrees you can be wearing tefillin already. So we have to be talking about on the second day, and Ullah is saying that, yes, You can put on tefillin on the morning of the second day after Netzachama, but if Panim Chadash come, you take them off. When they leave, you can put them back on. Remember, in those days, they wore tefillin all the whole day. And you keep on going like that throughout the day. So we see, therefore, that Ola holds that this toilet, that we see then that on the second day, yes, according to Ola, you wouldn't have to take off the tefillin every time. You're allowed to put them on, like Rabbi Yeshua says, but if Panim Chadash has come, like Rabbi Yeshua says, you still have to then you still have to take them off. However, Rava Amar, no. Once you're allowed to put on tefillin, you don't have to take them off again. In other words, you Ullah are saying that the halacha is like a b'liyazir and chalitza, and that means that you're saying that on the third day you don't have to take them off anymore, but on the second day you do. No, even on the second day, once you're allowed to put them on, You don't have to take them off again, even if Panim Chadash has come. That's why. Didn't Rava say before that we learned yesterday that 3 days is considered the ikur of Avelus? The halacha was like the Tana who said you need 3 days. That's why we said you need 3 days. We said you need 3 days before Yom Tov. Yes. So now that's not halacha, fine, but Rava himself held that way, so how all of a sudden is he saying that you can put on tefillin the second day? Then there's mitzvah shiny. It's different when it comes to a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, so you want to allow him to do it as soon as possible on the second day. The idea with tefillin and an oval is it's not like, you know, most of the things that we said, you know, we said the various things that an oval is or isn't supposed to do. In the case, in most of them apply throughout Shiva. Here the idea is basically like an oval is like rolling around in the dust in Sar, and therefore it's not appropriate for him to wear tefillin. But after the first day or after the first 2 days, if one's in the other, you know, he's calmed down a little bit.
Be obligated if he still feels safe.
I think so. I think he's still obligated to calm himself down and then put him on.
Put him on.
Yeah. And that's Takalat Locha, is that an oval doesn't put... Actually, I think what they do nowadays is an oval puts on tefillin even on the first day after the burial. Because then it was at that point already Aninus of Deraisa is over. Yeah. But as long as he's an Onan, right, he's positive from tefillin and from all of it. But I'm saying after the burial, I think as long as it's during the day, then I think what they do nowadays is usually the oval chaps around and puts on tefillin.
And is Shmur
Chayka
the same thing?
Shmur Chayka, yeah, because Shmur Chayka you don't even keep one whole day. You just keep a short time, like we learned yesterday about Rehia, yeah. Turn it up on him. Also, Gimel Yomim Rishonim Asa B'Malacha, the first 3 days of Avelos and Avol is absolutely Asa B'Malacha, V'Apilu Oni Amispanis Minat Tzedakah, even if he's so poor that he has to live off Tzedakah. Mikan V'Elach Oysa B'Tzina B'Tzeh, basically from then on, he's allowed to do Malacha secretly in his house. And Tosfos explains that this is still referring to the Ani. A regular Avol is not allowed to do Malacha all 7 days. But if he's so poor that he has to live off Tzedakah, fine, after 3 days we'll allow him to do Malacha quietly at home. In Shulchan Aruch it brings from, I think, Yerushalmi, or something that says that that has some harsh words to say for the neighbors that don't take care of the person in such a situation that he has to work for a living after 3 days. But not a chil Hashem, really, but it shows that they don't care enough for him. Yeah. Similarly, Va'isha tovim pelach b'seich beisa, and a woman can spin using a spindle in her house, which again is a quiet kind of malacha. The first 3 days of Avelos, an Avol does not go to another Avol, the Menachem him. But after that, he can go. But he doesn't sit among the people who comfort the mourners. Rather, he sits on the low chairs together with the Avelim there and the Menachem him as well. Nowadays, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, but nowadays they don't really apply this halacha. Nowadays, generally, an oval doesn't go to another oval's house.
They're brothers.
But then they're usually all sitting shiva together. But they do. You know, an oval doesn't. You know, sometimes you have. You sometimes hear people who sit a couple of days of shiva in one place and a couple of days in another. So there is a concept of availing traveling during shiva. But other than that, they generally don't. For the most part, they don't leave the house. Speaking of low tiers, by the way, I forgot to mention, on Omar Aleph, that our band brings a girsa. We were learning over there about lying on the bed versus a chair versus a versus on the ground or whatever, that you're not yotze unless you actually turn over the bed, which, by the way, we learned earlier in the Masechta and also in Tainis, that nowadays we don't turn over the beds for a couple of different reasons, one of them being that we're concerned that the goyim are going to accuse us of witchcraft. That's Tosfos brought that, yeah. That's one reason. Other Mepharshim say a different reason is because our beds are constructed differently than the beds in those days. In those days, if you turn over the bed and you sleep on it, you're sleeping on a different. It feels different than usual. You're lying down basically close to the ground. Our beds nowadays usually have posts on the four corners. If you flip it over, it's not really that much different than when it's right side up. But I was going to say, by the way, that the Ramban has a girsa over there, that in addition, the Gemara talks over there about the idea of that about sitting on the ground, that an oval has to sit on the ground. And nowadays, what we do is the oval doesn't actually sit on the ground, but they sit on that's where we get the minhag, that they sit on a low stool within three tefachim of the ground. Well, he holds that that's what the Gemara. He has a girsa in the Gemara. It's two different things. In other words, he says there's a matter of lying on the bed. There's a matter of lying on the bed, and then there's a matter of also that an oval is supposed to sit on the ground. Or nowadays, we don't actually sit on the ground, but they sit on a low chair. That's where we get it from.
What we do
on Tisha B'Av, yeah. Yeah, well, it's the same idea. Yeah. Turn it up on an oval. Gimel Yom Rishonim also b'sheilas shalom. The first 3 days of Avelos, an oval is not allowed to greet. Is not allowed to greet people. B'shloish avad shiva meishiv v'ena shoyl. From 3 days till seven, he can answer when people greet him, but he's not allowed to initiate the greeting. Mikan ve'elach shoyl meishiv kedaka. From then on, he can greet and respond to greetings normally. What does it mean here over here by sheilas shalom? By the way. So I think that Ramah says, or at any rate, some posts can say that primarily it means how in those days where they say or nowadays when you say shalom aleichem, actually when you actually use the word shalom, just saying hello or just nodding your head when somebody is not necessarily the same thing. I'm asked why. Shloshi yamim rishonim also b'sheilas shalom. You're telling me the first 3 days you're not allowed to greet somebody. You're not allowed to say shalom. But I'll tell you, but we learn in a place. So ma'isu meisu bonav shel Rabbi Akiva. It once happened that Rabbi Akiva's sons passed away. Nichnasu kol yisru obi spridum hesped gadol. So the whole Jewish people gathered and then made a tremendous hesped for them. B'shas p'tidot. And when they were getting ready to leave, Amar Rabbi Akiva al satzo gadol. Rabbi Akiva stood up on a tall bench, perhaps just everybody should see him. But Amar, and he says like this, Achenu b'nei beis Yisrael shimu. Our brothers, the house of Israel, listen. Afilu shnei bonim chasani. Even if the boys would pass away, like this, they were young, the pastors. But even if they were two married younger life. Beis bonim chasanim. Even if they were two children who are already chasanim. Which would be a much greater avelos. Even if they did. I mean, if they did leave children, it would also be. But even so, menuchamu, I would still feel comforted b'shvil kavod shasisem, because of the kavod that you did for me. And you should know, im b'shvil akiva b'asim. And after all, you have to consider if it's just you came for the sake of akiva, why? Harekama akiva b'shuk. There's lots of akivas in the marketplace. You're not going and making this whole to do when they have avelos. You must have said like this, that the Torah of Hashem is in his heart. In other words, we're gonna come for the sake of the covet of the Torah. So all the more so, you should have a double reward that you didn't just come to do a chesed for me as an individual akiva, but you did it for the covet of the Torah. So go to your houses in peace. So we see he said shalom to them.
When did you say that? The first day?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it was obviously sometime during the first 3 days. Or it could have been any time during the first 7 days. We said, Ein Yishoyel. We said during the first 7 days, he's not allowed to greet them. By saying, V'chul of Atechem L'Shalom, that's the equivalent of greeting them.
We said also previously that you're not supposed to give a drush.
This wasn't a drasha, really. I mean, this is
not
just... this is not darshaning in halacha or whatever. This is just, you know, just a speech in honor of the... Yeah.
But what,
What is the history?
The Gemara in Sanhedrin actually has a discussion about it. There's a sugya there, whether the hesped is basically yakru de chaye, whether it's in honor of the living, or whether it's yakru de shichvi, whether it's basically in honor of the mason.
What about what he would consider it was his honor that they did it in his honor?
Well, he didn't say really. I mean, he said b'shvil kavod shasisim. You could say that it means Rashi says kavod shasisim li, that you did all this kavod for me. Okay, but it doesn't have to just be. I mean, he could have meant that the hesped itself is kavod for the boys, but that the fact that everybody gathered is a kavod for him. Anyway. So anyway, so he's saying, well, chulav atayichem l'shalom, how can he do that? The answer is kvod rabim shiny. It's different when it's covered of the rabim. Now he's allowed to do. Next, we said, migimel bad zayin meshev enishoyo. We said from 3 days until seven, he can answer. If somebody says shalom to him, he can answer. But he can't himself greet them. And we said after that, he's allowed to initiate and he's allowed to respond normally. That's a ruminu. I have a contradiction. A braita says, a lot of these braitas that we're quoting, by the way, are from Masechta Smachas, which is one of the Masechta's Ketanis, which deals with a lot of the halachas of Avelos. This story that we just had about Rabbi Akiva was there. This braita is also. The braita says, Hamotzes chaver oval, if a person finds his friend an oval, v'soich lamed yoyim medaber im etanchomen, during the first 30 days, he should say comfort to him, he should say amokam yinacham eskem, but v'ein ha-shoyol b'shloimo, but he should not greet him with shalom. After 30 days, the other way around, he should ask about his welfare, he should say shalom to him, he should not do tanchomin, because as the Gemara is going to say soon after 30 days already, he feels better. You don't want to rip open the wound again by giving him tanchomin. And continue the braisa. Meisa ishtev nasa isha acheres. If the person's wife died and now he remarried, normally a person's not allowed to get married during shalosh regalim after his wife passed away. But Tosfos mentions over here that if he has small children. So that would be the case. So the person's wife died. He married somebody else. Usually you have to wait 3 yom tovim. Yes. And it can be as little as 6 months. It can be as little as 6 months if it was right before Pesach, or it can be as much as. Anyway, so Meisa Ishtev and Nasa Isha Acheres. If the Oval's wife passed away and he married somebody else, Einar Rasha Lekonis Lebeisa Ledabu Yemetanchomin, then the friend is not allowed to go into his house to be Menachem him because that'll make the new wife feel bad. Well, it has to be within 30 days. After 30 days, you don't do tanchumen at all, we say. Motze b'shuk, if he finds him in the marketplace, omelai b'safa rafa over kovid rosh, then he can say shalom to him in a weak voice and with a heavy head, in a somber way, basically, yeah. So what do we see from that? We see that we just said then the last thing we said is that if you find him in the marketplace that you don't even to answer you only do b'safa rafa over COVID rosh, you certainly don't initiate it, and you were saying after 7 days you're allowed to. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Oven, who shoyel b'shloim achem? The difference is like this. After Shiva, the Oval can ask about other people's shalom, Shachem, Shurim b'shalom, because the other people are indeed in shalom. They're not in mourning. Acherim ain't shalom b'shalom, but they're not allowed to give him shalom, Shahu ain't shalom b'shalom, because he's not in shalom, and therefore it's inappropriate for them to ask about his peace, because he doesn't have any. That's why, B'hamuk, the Tani Meshiv, we call the Shailin and I. Why? We're saying he answers. Obviously, that means they asked. Obviously, that means they asked him. They said shalom aleichem, and obviously he's replying shalom aleichem shalom. What are you saying that they can't ask him because he's not in shalom?
Right.
Well, the answer is zoloyadi. We're talking about, let's say, that the other people don't know that he's an oval. Yes, if somebody knows that he's an oval, they should not be saying shalom to him within 3 days. But if they don't know, then he's allowed to answer. So say the same thing even within the first 3 days, let's say. During the first 3 days also, if somebody says shalom to him not knowing he's an oval, let him answer. Maybe the suffer rough of a COVID rush, maybe in a somber way, but at least let him answer. The answer is Hasam Moidel Lahu V'Lo Mahadel Lahu. The difference is during the first 3 days, he actually, if somebody says Shalom to him not knowing, he can't answer Shalom. He has to tell them, I'm sorry, I'm an Oval. What? No, the idea is like this. The Gemara says in Brachas that if somebody says Shalom and you don't answer Shalom back to them, then it's like you're like stealing from them. Shalom Nikogazla, I think was the expression, or something like that. So you want to wherever possible, somebody says Shalom to you, you should say Shalom back. But the first 3 days you don't have that. The first 3 days, somebody says Shalom to you, you answer I'm an Oval. That'll make them realize that'll make them not feel insulted. Yeah.
And if they don't,
ha ha, let's start a inu. Whereas after 3 days, you don't have to inform them. So if they know that you're an Oval, then yes, until 30 days, they shouldn't be saying Shalom to you. But if they don't know, after 3 days, you're allowed to answer them.
That you're an Oval.
Yeah. No. You're allowed to answer them Shalom. Okay, you're saying 30 days or a minu, but I have another stira from a braisa. Yet another braisa in Smachas. Hamoitzes chaveri oval b'seif yud beis chodesh. A person finds his friend an oval within 12 months. Medaber u tanchumin v'enashel b'shlamer. Then he should say tanchumin for him, and he should say tanchumin to him, and he should not ask after his welfare. Lacha yud beis chodesh shel b'shlamer v'enim medaber u tanchumin. After 12 months, then the other way around, he should ask after his welfare. We should say shalom to him, but not say tanchumin for him. But he can say it in an indirect way. Instead of saying Hamokim Minachameschem, the whole thing, he can say Tisnachem. Rashi says he can just say you should be comforted. That's considered Minatzad. If somebody finds his friend an oval after 12 months, and then he first says Tanchumin to him. L'mahu daima, what did he like? L'adam shenishbur ragle v'chayitza. It's like a person whose leg broke and then it healed. Matzer reifer, and then he meets up with a doctor. V'amalai, kloch etzli. The doctor tells him, why don't you come to me? Shani shoivra v'aperna. I'll break the leg again, and then I'll heal it. G'day shetayna, shesammanish li'yofin. So you can see how good my medicines are. You don't do that, obviously. Once it healed, So the same thing. In other words, after 12 months, it would be like ripping open the wound again, just in order. Why? You think you're such a great Menachem that you can comfort him? Leave well enough alone at this point. So anyway, 12 months. We see not 30 days. The answer is like Kasha. If he was an Oval for his parents, for his father or mother, then you have up to 12 months. You shouldn't be saying Shalom to him. But if it's any other relative, after 30 days, you can. We've had a few times already that in general, many of the halachas that apply after other relatives up to 30 days apply after parents up to 12 months.
In other words, parents, the whole year he can ask.
He shouldn't ask. The other person shouldn't ask.
Shouldn't ask.
The whole 12 months, the person can say tanchumen to him, though.
And again, in other words, the whole 12 months...
The whole 12 months, the other person should not be saying Shalom Aleichem, should not be asking about his welfare.
On a parent,
yeah.
But these cases here, where he was Menachem, these people made a difference whether he didn't see them for the first year or for the first 30 days, saw them after that period?
The pashtus, it doesn't matter. I mean, either way, if he knows, if he doesn't know, he doesn't know. But, you know, if he knows that it's more than a year after, then yeah.
I'm saying that this would be... Some first time after, you know.
Okay, but still, if it's after 12 months, you don't want to reopen it, you know. We ask why. Well, in that case, then, the same way as we're saying that after a father or mother, after 12 months, you can't say, but you can say, tisnachem. Shouldn't you do the same thing with other relatives after 3? And the answer is, yeah. Means that after 30 days, you should not be speaking tanchumen to him the regular way. You should not be saying, hamokam minacham eschem. But you can say to him, but you can speak to him, tisnachem. So again, the same rule applies to other relatives up to 30, and applies to parents after 12 months. Okay.